772-335-3231.
Welcome to On to Perfection, the radio ministry of Resurrection Life Family Worship Center. I'm Trevor Banks, and I'm glad you've joined us for today's broadcast, and I trust you'll be blessed by the message. Satanic agenda. Even though we don't spend a lot of time thinking about Satan, it's good to know your enemy. Amen. What we don't know can be very destructive. We as children of God, we must come into a place where we understand what is of the flesh, what is of the spirit, what is of the enemy. You know, sometimes people are fighting or trying to bind up the enemy when sometimes the cause of failure or defeat lies within your flesh. Amen. Decisions you've made, words you've spoken, things you've thought or done that separated you from the blessing of God. So when we can discern these things, because our enemy's power is in his deception. Understand, he knows not one believer, not one child of God on the planet can he stand toe-to-toe with unless he can deceive him, because the greater one is on the inside of you. Amen. Amen. He that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. And when you know this, and when he knows you know this, he'll never confront, he'll never stand there knowing what you know, or knowing that you know what you know. Amen. So in this portion of scripture, we want to take a look at his agenda, and we have to understand something. This warfare and this purpose and plan did not start at Calvary. It did not start when Jesus was born in Bethlehem. This started in the beginning, before time as we know it. You see, in the beginning was the beginning of time. Time is simply the measure of change. It's where things can change. When God created, time began. There is no time in eternity, no distance, no depth, no height. There's none of this stuff. Eternity is all right there. Difficult for us to fathom or to understand in our finiteness, but in eternity, there's nothing that changes. It's full of the brilliance and light of God. I want you to take note in your mind of something. Even though darkness was created in the sphere of God's heaven, light was never created. God is light. Light is not relative. There's nothing that is on the same plane with light. Light always has been, because God himself is light. So whenever you see, well, we'll get into this, but when God says, let there be light, that wasn't the creation of light. God is light. Amen. So when God says something like, let there be light, he's coming in. Amen. He's coming into something. Amen. And he called light into darkness. But there was darkness that he created, physical darkness, because he left a particular location in his creation. Remember, he created heaven like a tent. And within heaven, all the solar systems, galaxies, universes, the earth. But when the war broke out in heaven, the rebellion, God removed himself from a place in the heavens to another place called a third heaven. And he built a cloud there where his presence was, but darkness covered the rest of the heaven. Waters broke out and flooded all of that heaven, all of the earth. All of that took place between verse 1 and 2 of the book of Genesis. Okay? So let me give you just a little description of Lucifer. When we read this, and these are side notes, so you might want to write some of these down. But in Ezekiel 28, verse 12 through 19, the word calls him, the Lord says he was the seal of perfection. The seal of perfection. In other words, he was created perfect. In other words, he was at the very best. He was created at full capacity. It means that And I want you to bring this into context. It means that he could not become any better because he was created perfectly. Now, I want you to picture this and understand this. The angels cannot get better. They don't grow. They were created, let me say, in a certain mold, and that's who they are throughout eternity. Lucifer was created perfect. In other words, he could not become better. Now, man was not created like this, and this is the distinction. This is what separates us. Man was created innocent, and we have a capacity to grow better and better and better and better. Angels were created at a certain level, and they can go no higher. They can become no better. They can only do what they've been made and are functioning to do. They can only get worse, as we see what happened with Lucifer. When he sinned, he could not go any higher. He could only go down. Lucifer came out with the seal of quality control. He was the top notch. He couldn't go any higher. He was like a lamp, let me say, taken out, you know, when they create light bulbs. A light bulb, when you first plug it in, screw it in, and turn it on, it shines at full capacity. It's not going to get brighter. It'll only start to dim. The only way for him was down, especially when he sinned. Therefore, no matter what Satan tried, he could not get any better. He could not do any more. He could not be more perfect than he was. He could not have more power than he had. Lucifer, the moment he sinned, he started to depreciate like a car. Once it comes off the lot, it's headed to the junkyard. It may take it a while to get there, but it's headed to the junkyard. He only could depreciate. As a matter of fact, I love to use this analogy because the grace that God has given to mankind, man started out living a long time, but sin reduced us to 4 score and 10 or whatever the amount or the average age that a person will live. That's what sin has done to us. But we that are saved have been redeemed, and God adds to us. But now, the fallen angels, they could not get any better, but when they followed Lucifer and they all sinned, they begin to depreciate. And it's been since his creation and sin, the rebellion, they are not the same. That's why his power is in his deception. He is as a roaring lion. He has no real authority. And so if we could see in the spirit realm where he was, the bright and morning star, the light bearer, when he sinned against God, he's depreciated. This is why his strength is in deception. He makes people to think, especially the church, that he has all of this when he has been utterly and totally defeated. Amen. All right, so in Isaiah, they actually have an opportunity to look. God opens hell and allows them. You can read that in Isaiah, I believe it's chapter 66. But they actually look down in there and they say, is this the one who shook the nations? Who caused man to tremble? They look at his person and what sin has done to him. And so we see he was the seal of perfection. He was full of wisdom. God gave him the wisdom that he had. You have to understand that God gave him the wisdom that he had. It wasn't like there was any counsel or wisdom against God. God gave him the wisdom that he had. He did not have, listen closely, he did not have inherent wisdom. It was given to him. I want you to see something here. God put that wisdom in him. It was not inherent. But instead of bringing honor to God, he started to use the wisdom to bring benefits to himself. He corrupted his wisdom. His wisdom was given and not acquired, whereas we acquire wisdom. Do you understand? So he was full of wisdom. In other words, he could receive no more wisdom. Amen. But see, the distinction with man, we can grow. Amen. The Lord says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives liberally, and he will not upbraid. So wisdom is always at our disposal. Whatever we encounter, whenever we need it, God says, I have wisdom for you. But the angels, the angelic hosts, and Lucifer in particular, he was full of wisdom. He could gain no more wisdom. Do you understand? Do you see the distinction between the creation man and the angel? Okay? Now, having corrupted his wisdom, well, let me say the wisdom that we receive from Jesus was paid for with a price. It was not something that was just put into our life. It was paid for. And we received it through the works of Jesus, and it's what you call priceless. Amen? The wisdom of God is priceless. Lucifer was given all that he needed to know by God, and when he sinned against God, the wisdom was no longer going to work in his behalf because it was something God had put in him, and it only worked as long as he partook of God's life. Okay? Instead of being full of wisdom, he's now full of darkness and deception. Number three, he was created perfect in beauty. In other words, he could not become any more beautiful than he was. He was created perfect in beauty. He could not become any more beautiful. All the precious stones were built into him. And the reason God did that is that when the light of God, how many know? The enemy had no light of his own. But see, he was an anointed cherub, and because he was in that position, as God's light would shine upon the emeralds and the precious stones, he would partake of a portion of God's light, like we do. You know, we are not the light, but our light shines. We partake of the light. We are not that light. He was not that light, but that light shone upon him. And those stones shined, and it caused worship. He was created perfect in beauty. Every precious stone was his covering. So when the light of God touched the diamonds, it began to sparkle. When it touched the other stones, they began to sparkle. All right, so the next thing, he was created perfect in beauty, but he was also in the Eden of God. You have to understand that he walked in the Eden that was in the heavenly realm. Not just the Eden on earth, but the Eden of God. He was there. Lucifer was created and placed in heaven, which was the Eden, the paradise of God. He was given a special place in the presence of God so that he was always there to spread the beauty of God outwardly. He was given a special place, an anointed cherub that covereth. He was supposed to reflect the glory of God out into the universe before the angelic creation. That was his assignment, his mandate. He was allowed all that God released to touch him and to flow through him. Now he had been removed. And guess who's taken his place? The church. So he's really got a bone to pick with you, because you've taken his place to reflect the glory of God. Amen?
We invite you to worship with us. Please join us in our newly added 8:30 a.m. service on Sundays. See you there.
Thank you for listening to today's message. And for more information or more messages from On to Perfection, call toll-free 1-877-TR-BANKS or visit our website at trbanks.com. And always remember, God will perfect that which concerns you.